Blog Talk Radio.
Who are the three people? Who are the three people in Canelo's gym that pop dirty? I know Canelo and then Valdez, but who else? You're muted. I think you're muted.
Canelo, Valdez, and Neri was pop dirty to him.
Neri, that's it.
There's actually four. There's another one. I'm trying to remember who the fourth one was.
Gotcha. Okay. Did you watch the Zone card?
I watched Ben.
Uh-huh.
I watched that. What was the other fight? I missed Bridges.
Yeah, I missed Ben. I only watched Ben, and I only watched – I didn't see Taylor. I only watched what's his face?
I watched Ben. I watched Ben Taylor in the main event.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we're going to talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today. And if you want to call in, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about the big news, man. Oscar Valdez pops dirty, tests positive for PEDs. Beeb, he tested positive, son. What are you going to do?
Bad look, man.
What are you
going to
do?
Look.
How's your afternoon going so far, Beeb?
Pretty good, man. I can't complain.
I'm asking questions. Right? Glad you're having a good afternoon.
Got a lot off my chest, you know. Let off some steam.
De La Hoya, your boy, tests positive for COVID. He's out, son. That's the second Triller guy now. The second one with Teofimo and now De La Hoya. Both out. Triller, bad luck, man. But first, let's get started with this weekend's action. DAZN, Josh Warrington versus Mauricio Lara, 12 rounds featherweights. And this exciting contest ended in a two-round technical draw. The fight was stopped at the end of the second round after an unintentional headbutt caused a cut over Lara's eye. It looked like a nasty headbutt, too, man. It was a good fight while it lasted, man. Both guys, I thought, landed pretty good shots in the beginning, and it looked like we were in store for, like, a pretty action fight, but nothing. Beeb, I hate when stuff like this happens, don't you?
You know, I do, and I'm going to say something very controversial. The first butt, I think, was accidental, but the second butt, it kind of looked like it was intentional to me, the way he just kind of billy-goated him. I felt as though... He realized he was going to have problems on the inside, so he was going to do anything he could to try to nullify that inside game, whether it be legal or otherwise. And I actually thought that the second headbutt was kind of a cheap shot, the way he just kind of billy-goated him. I didn't like it. Now, that's my opinion. I'm going to do a poll in the chat and ask them, do they think the butt was intentional?
Do you think – I mean, if you're Lara, do you give this guy another shot? Does this happen again? I mean,
I try to fight Kid Galahad if I'm Lara, because he's ranked, I think, he's ranked number three by the IBF, but listen to this. Number one and two is not rated. So there's no one rated one or two. This is how dumb the IBF is. So technically, he's the first in line, because number one and two is not rated.
Right. Insane.
So if I was him, I'd try to go out to Galahad and get a title shot.
That's a good fight. Him and Galahad is a really good fight.
Yeah, because Lara was complaining to the ref. Exactly right, Rob G. You could see how there was a warning. I think there was two warnings, and then like the third one was the one that cut, you know, caused that cut.
Even before the first headbutt, he was talking to the ref.
Yeah,
for sure. Even before that first one, man. So what are you gonna do? So Josh Warrington is going to look for a rematch here, and Lara, I don't know what they're going to do. My guess is they'll run it back. I don't know where they run it back at, you know. But
now let me ask you this. If you're Lara, do you go back to the UK? Because the ref should have done something. You should have taken points away. You should have done something to discourage and deter Warrington from leading in with his head like that. I honestly think that that was intentional, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think – yeah, that's the thing, man. If I'm Lara, I don't go back to the U.K. I already gave you a shot. You know, we gave you a shot in the U.K. That's it. You're done.
Yeah.
Go to wherever, you know.
Yeah.
Co-main here was Katie Taylor versus Jennifer Han, 10 rounds for the Undisputed Women's Lightweight title. Katie Taylor wins by unanimous decision over Jennifer Han, 100-89 on all scorecards. Listen, this is kind of getting redundant for Katie Taylor. What is she going to do here, Beeb? Does she stay at this weight? Does she? Who's there to fight? Amanda Serrano doesn't want to fight her. Nobody wants to fight her.
Well, they got to do something and try to get Amanda Serrano in the ring. If they can't get Serrano...
She doesn't want to fight her. What are they going to do?
I don't know. Do you fight Tasha Jonas again? Eventually, she's going to move up for Legacy, right? And fight,
she's got to do something.
And fight McCaskill, right? She's already beat McCaskill once. Why not move up to... I mean, she's got a lot of options, don't get me wrong. So, I mean,
yeah.
She can do anything. She can do anything. She's making a ton of money, right?
But I think for, you know, fan-wise, if you're watching Katie Taylor, you're going to want to see her... you know, get tested a little bit more than what she's been doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. Yeah, what was it? Notorious said minus 10,000 favorite Katie Taylor. And she still can't stop these women. Listen, man, Katie's knocked people out, I think. Hasn't she? She's not Clarissa Shields where she hasn't stopped anybody. But the two-minute rounds kills them.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that.
I hate it. It makes no sense. Makes no sense, man.
I guess Lara's going to be out for a while with that cut. But
it was a bad cut. It was a bad cut in a bad spot.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're going to look elsewhere for a fight with Warrington. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. The fight of the night for me, and the one I really wanted to see on this card, was Conor Benn and Adrian Granados. Conor Benn won the unanimous decision over Granados by the scores of 100-90, 99-91, and 97-93. Listen, man, Granados was there to fight. He always comes to fight. He's always in shape. But Benn was just, to me, the biggest difference here was Benn was just too strong for him. I really believe that. To me, that was the big difference, man. Granados is always, I've always said he was a 140, not a 147. He's never been the same at 147. And that being said, Benn fought a good fight. You know, he kept the pressure on. He basically beat Granados in his own game because pressure is Granados' game. You know, and I tell you, we followed Benn from the beginning of his career, obviously, till now. He's made a lot of improvements. He looked good. I didn't know how good he was going to be, but he's looking pretty good. You know, what's next for him?
They're talking about Adrian Broner, which I don't think is a bad fight. Avanesian, I think, would be a good test. That would be a good test, Avanesian.
Broner's a big money fight.
Yeah. Cavaluskas, I think, would be a little bit too tough at this point. I'd rather see him fight Avanesian or Broner next.
Yeah, that's a good fight.
Yeah.
Broner, I mean, if you want name recognition, Broner's, you know, the guy you fight. JC says Ebony Bridges was promoted more than Katie. Well, look at her. Of course she was. Look at Ebony Bridges. She looks like a supermodel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of course she was promoted more. They're trying to get her to be a star. Problem is, she can't. She can't fight. She can't.
I just don't think she's that great of a fighter.
No,
she's
not good. She's not good at all.
I think she's gonna. You know, when she steps up, she's gonna get exposed. She's gonna get hurt.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I'm not a hater, but I'm just not impressed.
No.
I'm just not impressed. I think she pushes her punches. I don't think she turns them over. She's billed as this big knockout artist, but I don't think she is.
Listen, I'd rather watch her carry around the ring cards, you know, between rounds than I would watch her fight. Just the way it is. I mean, look, it's just, you know, that's what they gear her for. You know, she'll be in Playboy next. Who knows? Whatever. But she's not a fighter. And I never really thought that about her, that she was ever a fighter. You can't, like, you know, you've seen her Instagram. You don't have, I mean, come on. You know, she's not, she's here. This is a short cut to where she wants to go. You know what I mean? This isn't her. She's not, you know, it's not like she's, you know, chomping at the bit to get in the ring. You know what I mean? This is not her deal. This is, you know, speaking of which, she won a unanimous decision 77-76, Ebony Bridges over, Malice Gangloff. You know, but I have a feeling, I don't know about you, but I have a feeling this Bridges show is about to come to a close here soon.
As soon as she steps up, I mean, I thought Shannon Courtenay beat her soundly. I think it was like an 8-2, 7-3 type fight.
Yeah.
You know, you can say what you want about the headbutt, but that eye was discolored. And usually when a tissue on your face or in your body is discolored, it's from repeated trauma. You know what I mean? So you could tell that the majority of the damage on that eye was from punches after the headbutt, because the headbutt wasn't really that bad. The headbutt created like a small little lump. And then as time went on, as Courtenay kept hitting her in that eye in their fight, it got really large and large. So I think her defense is very lacking, and I just don't think she moves her head very well. She very stands straight up stiff, pushes punches. You know, she's got an okay right hand, but that's about it.
She's not a good fighter. If it wasn't for her look, she wouldn't even be on these cards.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, and that's the brass tacks of it. You know, and every time she goes up there, she makes a big deal about Eddie looking at her at the weigh-in or whatever, or not looking at her, or whatever the case may be. It's like this big joke they have between them now. Listen, man, I'm over it. You know what I mean? We're all over it. You know, I mean,
it's kind of ran its course, right?
It's absolutely ran its course. You know, what are you gonna do? So once she gets beat, I think, you know, because her marketability, once she starts getting beat. When, like you said, once they start raising her competition and she's going to beat, there's a guy in the chat, W. Riley is in the chat, thought she lost last night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, she has heart, but her skills are real limited. You're right. You're 100% right.
Yeah, I'm just not impressed. I have to be honest. I'm just not impressed.
No.
You know, it's funny and it's irritating sometimes. I don't want to use the word irritating, but it's just, it's crazy how people can just be so intellectually dishonest. When you listen to announcers when they're commentating on her fight,
right,
it's very clear those DAZN people are really trying to make her sound like she's doing more than what she's doing, that the fight's competitive. And, you know, it's just not. You know what I mean? It's just not.
I think you have to, as a promoter, know what you have. And you've got, you know, when you look at her, she's definitely a star potential. Not for boxing, though.
Yeah.
She can be on reality TV or whatever the case may be, but she's not a boxer.
And she's going to be 36 years old soon. Like, she's got a small window left to make something happen. Right?
Go do something. You'll make much more money at something else than you will here. Trust
me.
You know?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, so there it is.
Not trying to be negative, not being a hater. Like, go out and do, you know, fight as many of these types of opponents as you can to make money if that's the case. But at the end of the day, you know, I just don't see her ever becoming a champion and beating someone of top caliber. I just don't.
Notorious VC said it's OnlyFans time.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Would you buy her if she was on OnlyFans?
I don't want to sound bad, but I don't really find her that attractive. She's not my type. I think Shannon Courtenay is much prettier than her, to be honest with you.
I would buy her on OnlyFans too.
She's not my type, bro. I got to be honest.
Not mine either. No. Not at all. Not even a little bit.
So,
not even a little bit. All right, let's go to the phones. 530, Robert. What did you think of the fights on last night?
I enjoyed the DAZN card. And like I told Beeb yesterday, you know, I firmly believe now that once all these contracts expire with ESPN and Fox, I think all boxing promoters should take their cards to the zone because they know how to put them on. Because as you know, there's a fight card tonight on Fox, and unless you're a hardcore, you're not going to know the names of the people fighting. You know, and Fox did not pay for PBC garbage because they paid for big-name fights. They didn't pay for these Sunday night cards. They had one a couple weeks ago. They got one tonight. This is terrible. DAZN, ever since I got it in May, I've been more impressed with what DAZN has done compared to what ESPN Plus has done or Fox or FS1. DAZN knows how to put on fight cards. And if you're a true boxing fan, that's the only app you need.
Wow. Beeb, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, they give you the best bang for your buck, without question. Not all their cards are great, but once again, you're not paying $85 for them, so you can cut them some slack.
Right.
But I have to say, it's a bargain being able to watch the whole card.
Yeah.
Right? You get the whole fight card from top to bottom. You're able to learn about some of these fighters that you normally wouldn't see. And I know, you know, Fox will have a fight on pay-per-view, and then they'll have, like, Fox Sports 1 or whatever will show, like, the undercard. But they don't show the whole card. DAZN is giving you the whole card from top to bottom. So you're watching, you start watching the card at 2 o'clock, and you're getting, like, 4 hours. Four and a half hours of content.
Who can beat that? Yeah, who can beat that? I mean,
you can't beat that, Robert.
No, you can't beat that. No.
What were your thoughts on Conor Benn last night?
I enjoyed what I saw, and I thought Adrian did the best he could, but he always has fought he's always fought in the wrong weight class. God, I would love to see him in his natural weight class. Because he's the kind of fighter that would give people fits if he was in the right weight class. But he's always fought out of his weight class. Joe, another name that they've mentioned for Ben is Josh Kelly. I got to thinking about it after we talked yesterday. You know what? I think he'd be a good opponent for Mr. Ortiz.
Wow, that's a little too fast. I like the Avanesian fight, to be honest. I think Ortiz is a little too fast right now. Ortiz is a little bit ahead of him.
Conor Benn?
Yeah. I would love to see Ortiz get tested. You know, I don't think he's really
get tested by Conor Benn, son.
Yeah.
Ain't no way. He'll roll away from Conor Benn.
I thought the Maurice Hooker fight was a good step up for Virgil Ortiz, and I also thought the Kavaluskas fight was a great step up fight too.
Right.
I wouldn't hate the Ben fight but I don't think that Ben is ready for Virgil Ortiz, in my opinion. I mean,
okay. I don't think it's a horrible fight. Right.
But I think it's a tough style matchup. I think it's a tough style matchup for him.
Right. Okay, and with Valdez popping for PEDs now, I guess that card on Friday for ESPN Plus is off.
Nope.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
They're allowing him to fight because we're going to get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that later.
I don't want to jump ahead.
So.
Thank you so much, Robert. You're finally learning the format here.
It
took him long enough.
took him about 4 years, but you're getting it.
Oh my God!
I'm just playing with you, Robert. Before you start sending me angry texts, I'm just teasing you.
I'm just teasing you. Right.
I'm just razzing you. So don't start sending me death threats on the iPhone, please.
All right. No, I would never send you death threats, Beep. I thought it was a very good card, and I could not agree with you more on Miss Bridges there. I thought she lost both of the fights I've seen last month and this month. Hopefully she'll get beat soon, and we won't have to see her on TV anymore. I feel bad for Katie
Taylor.
Would you
buy her on OnlyFans?
No, she's not my type. I feel bad for Katie Taylor. I hope somebody steps up and fights her. And I would like to see female fighters fight 3-minute rounds. I mean, come on. If they're going to box,
that's a big knock on them. Yeah, that's a big knock on them.
If they're going to be so crazy.
It's so crazy, Robert, because we beat that dead horse time and time again. But you know what? I was thinking about it, and that fight just flew by. It's like it really stood out for some reason yesterday watching that fight and seeing how, because you know why it went by faster than usual? Because Katie Taylor has a very appealing crowd-pleasing style, and she fights such a fast-paced fight, so her
yep.
style makes those rounds go by even faster, because she
yeah.
wants, because you're saying, yeah, like, she's like just heating up, right? And then the round
yeah.
is over.
Yeah.
I can almost guarantee Katie Taylor's style with 3-minute rounds, she would have way more knockout.
Yep. I totally agree. Because
in my opinion, I
firmly believe had she had 3-minute rounds yesterday, she could have stopped her.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know.
But I don't know. I gotta be honest though. Even if you up women's bouts to 3-minute rounds, I'm probably still not gonna be a fan. I don't know. It's not my cup of tea, man.
To each his own. But I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. Christy Martin really made me a fan of the sport. And ever since then, I didn't look back. I was always skeptical of women's boxing as well when I was, you know, younger in the 90s, back when I was in my 30s, you know, my late 20s to early 30s. I was very skeptical of it too. But then I started seeing fighters like Christy Martin, Lucia Riker, and even Layla Ali, Ann Wolfe. And I saw a lot of skill in them women. And I see a lot of skill in Clarissa Shields and Katie Taylor. Now, Katie Taylor is definitely, like, from a style perspective, I love watching her the best. I really enjoy watching her. I like Katie.
And
Katie Taylor is a very good fighter.
Katie is pretty good. Katie's really good.
And Amanda, if you give Amanda Serrano enough zeros, she'll step in the ring. I mean,
we don't need to give Amanda Serrano enough zeros. How many zeros does she actually deserve, though?
Listen, she's
going to get paid what everybody else is getting paid. Who is she to demand anything?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, because Katie talked about it in an interview she did yesterday.
Her and a bonehead trainer of hers, you know.
Yeah.
Her and a bonehead trainer who is making fun of that girl as she's
yeah.
being loaded up into an ambulance. Yeah, that's real classy.
Yeah.
I hope she doesn't get a payday. I got to be honest.
Yeah,
I hope she doesn't.
Yeah. Well, no, but Katie talked about it yesterday before the fight, Eric, and she said, look, I'm going to fight whoever anybody puts in front of me, but I want to be in important fights that are going to make history for women boxing, and that was one of the people she mentioned. So
there you go. All right, Robert, I'm going to put you on hold, so just hang
on,
and we might bring you back. All right, so let's see here. Let's talk about the upcoming fights here. So, yeah, this is and we're going to get into this in just a second here. September 10th, and there's a couple. Yeah, all right, there's a couple. All right, so September 10th, Tucson, Arizona on ESPN, Oscar Valdez versus Robeson Canseco, 12 rounds for Valdez's WBC junior lightweight title, Junto Nakatani versus Angel Acosta, 12 rounds for Nakatani's WBO flyweight title, Gabe Flores Jr. versus Luis Alberto Lopez, 10 rounds, junior lightweight. Xander Zayas on the card against the dreaded TBA, and that's 6 rounds, middleweight. He's another one that everybody ought to keep their eye on. If you haven't seen him, go watch him, Xander Zayas, and hopefully they'll show him on that ESPN Plus card. September 10th on ESPN Plus from Paris, Tony Yoka versus Peter Mullis, 10 rounds, heavyweights. And, yeah, there you go. September 10th on DAZN from Austria, Philippe Ergovic versus Marco Radonjic, 12 rounds heavyweights. And September 11th from L.A., Triller Fight Club, Evander Holyfield, Bede, versus Vitor Belfort, 10 rounds light heavyweights. Anderson Silva versus Tito Ortiz, 8 rounds cruiserweights. David Haye versus Joe Fournier, 8 rounds heavyweights. Andy Ventzis versus Joan O'Carroll, 10 rounds junior lightweights. Just so I understand this correctly, I believe that all of these are going to be 2-minute rounds, with the exception of maybe the Ventzis-Carroll fight. The Holyfield-Belfort fight is going to be 2-minute rounds. I believe the Silva-Ortiz fight is an exhibition, I think, so I believe that'll be 2-minute rounds. Haye and Fournier, they wouldn't even sanction the Haye fight, so that's got to be 2-minute rounds as well. And also in London, there's no TV on it, but if you're in London, Sonny Edwards versus Jason Mama, 12 rounds for Edwards' IBF flyweight title. Callum Johnson also on that card on September 11th on Sunday. Steve, that's a train wreck of a card. That Triller card is just a train wreck of a card. It was a train wreck when De La Hoya's on it. It's even more of a train wreck now that Holyfield's on it.
Well, what may happen is they're not so sure that the California Commission's going to approve Holyfield, so they're talking about moving that fight to Florida. I'm not sure if that's the case as of yet, but there is a concern.
Well, they didn't approve what's his face either. Let's see here, David Hay. They didn't approve him. That's why I went down to 2-minute rounds.
David Hay's fight wasn't sanctioned?
No. He had to go to 2-minute rounds.
Why?
That's what I read. I
believe you. Don't get
yeah, on, no, I mean, I read it. I'm trying to remember. No, I'm trying to remember where I read that at, though.
Why would they not sanction David Hay? What's wrong with him?
I don't know. I guess maybe because he had been out. And they want to. He wants to come back for 8 rounds or what?
Oh, I think if you're out for a specific period of time, is he out more than 2 years? Yeah, that's right. That's why they wouldn't allow Tarver to fight.
Yeah.
Because if you're out, I think more than 2 years after a certain age, then I.
Robert's saying they moved the card to Florida. I don't know.
I'm not sure if they moved it, if that's official. I know they were saying if Holyfield couldn't get sanctioned to fight. But again, these are all exhibitions. So
I don't know why they would move it for just exhibitions, you know.
But the commission can still deny a fighter fighting in an exhibition, I think.
Right.
I would assume, right?
I would think, yeah.
I mean, Holyfield's almost 60 years old, bro. That's crazy.
Yeah, Notorious said they did move it to Florida. So
okay, then we stand corrected. I wasn't sure if that was official.
I wasn't
thank
sure
you,
either.
Thank you, Robert, and
thank you, Notorious.
Thank you, Robert, and thank you, Notorious.
All right. Let's go ahead and get to our news and rumors. But before we do that, let's thank our new sponsor, Manscaped. Exciting news from across from our friends at Manscaped. They just launched their fourth generation performance package. This ultimate package includes the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, 4.0. The leaders in male grooming have done it once again in taking your grooming game to the next level. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the new Performance Package 4.0 by going to manscaped.com for 20% off free shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER. Ringside Reporter, one word, 20% off, free shipping. The Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped has arrived, and oh man, was it worth the wait. Inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance Boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. I will tell you what, man, the briefs are amazing. And everybody that we've talked to that ordered the stuff loves it. I mean, they just love it. But the briefs are my favorite. If you haven't tried them, definitely give them a try. They're great. The new Performance Package 4.0 includes the Lawnmower. This trimmer is insane. Dare I say the greatest trimmer ever. I said it. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. Thanks to their skin safe technology, the Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock and gives you the ability to turn on a 4,000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Did I mention it's waterproof as well? You can't beat this. I'm telling you, you can't beat it. You thought that was good, but you want to take your grooming game even further, all right? Even further to the next level. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof. 9,000 RPM motor, 360-degree rotary dual blade system. The nose and ear trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate areas. Seal the deal with Manscaped Liquids formulations, their Crop Preserver deodorant for before leaving the house, the Crop Reviver for the mid-game check. Manscaped even threw in 2 free gifts in the performance package, the Manscaped boxes, and the Shed travel bag, which is also a very nice bag as well. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ringsidereporter at manscaped.com. That's 20% off, free shipping with the code ringsidereporter at manscaped.com. There you go. They use the best tools for the job. All right. Beeb, I love Manscaped. I love them.
There's a lot of good products.
A lot of good stuff there.
You know, the nose trimmers are outstanding. I think they're great. And, you know, you gotta keep up with your hygiene, man. People neglect it sometimes. You don't realize, you know, how fast your hair can grow in certain areas.
There you go. Tony Ayo, go get 20% off. Reese Mack, go get 20% off. There you go. Ringside Reporter, baby.
Click the link, guys. At least get the weed whacker. I mean, and you get the nice, you get a nice 20% discount, and I believe you also get free shipping as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, do me a favor, Beeb. Can you put the link in there? Can you put the link in the, let me see. I'm going to try it here.
No, in the chat you're talking about.
Yeah, there you go.
I can do that for you. I have no problem doing that for you.
There we go. All right. So now you guys are set. See, we take care of you here. All right, we take care of you guys here. Hey, guys, let's get the likes up, all right? Let's hit the like button. If you guys like what we're doing, go ahead and give us a like, man. I'm not asking you to work in a coal mine. Just hit the like button. That's all. Turning you on to all kinds of stuff here. At least you could do is hit the like button, man. Come on.
There you go, guys. Manscaped.com right there. The Ringside Reporter.
It is. Thank you so much. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. So Oscar Valdez test positive for Fentermin. All right. So Valdez, this is the big news this week. Valdez is enrolled in VADA. VADA popped him for testing positive for Fentermin, which he said was in a tea he drank. This is how I know he's guilty. Right? This is how I know he's guilty. Top-level cheat Victor Conte said, Fentermin isn't something that's found in herbal tea. You got to get a prescription for Fentermin, and it's not going to be found in herbal tea. Despite all this, Valdez will be allowed to box on Saturday. Yes, even after failing a drug test, guys. Mauricio Sulaiman, in his infinite wisdom, told ESPN, quote, it is simple. This is not a performance-enhancing drug, except for that whole thing where it is. It's like if you take three Red Bulls, not even a little bit. In the anti-doping world, there are hundreds of substances. If you go to 7-Eleven and you steal a candy bar, you stole it. It's illegal. But that is different from robbing a bank with guns and pistols, and that will give you 7 years in jail. I have no idea what Mauricio Sulaiman is babbling about here. I have absolutely zero idea. He sounds like a babbling fool. He says that Valdez will have absolutely no advantage and the challenger will have no risk. End quote. Victor Conte says, nah, that's not exactly it. He disagreed, and he told ESPN, quote, I personally have given athletes Fentermin. I know what it does, Conte, the former founder of Balco, told ESPN. It's very powerful. It's like a methamphetamine. You know why it's a performance-enhancing drug? Because it gives the central nervous system, it's a central nervous stimulant, he added. It accelerates your heart rate. It gives you energy. It gives you endurance. It gives you stamina. It makes it easier to breathe. Your training time to exhaustion would be much longer. So clearly, it's a PED. It's also on the banned list. You know, I don't know what does Mauricio Sulaiman know about performance-enhancing drugs anyway? Well, why? I don't understand. This is what kills me, though. Why does the WBC even have this program? If this fight is going to go on Saturday, why does the WBC even have this program? This makes zero sense to me. And if Victor Conte is saying, yeah, it's a performance-enhancing drug, and I'm not big on Victor Conte, but if he's saying it, I believe it.
Yeah.
Because no one has cheated to a highest degree other than him, to that degree.
Yeah. This is my stance on the whole thing. But, you know, he's fighting because of the technicality, right? Now, WADA says that you can use this drug out of competition, which means that you can use it up to 24 hours before the fight. If you use it within the 24-hour period prior to the fight, then that's considered in competition, and it's illegal, right? That's how they state it, you know, in their protocol on their substance list. Now, you would not need to use this substance 24 hours before the fight because at that particular time, you know, you would have already made weight. Now, I can see what Victor Conti's saying. I disagree with it, and I looked at some studies. And I think this drug is on the banned substance list because it's dangerous. I believe that if you're already depleted, you're already training hard, and you're already cutting your calories, and you're putting your body under an enormous amount of stress, I think when you start putting your body on more stress on top of that via taking something like clenbuterol or something like phentermine, I think that that would take you to a level that your body doesn't want to go to. And I tweeted out a study and I read a study that they did a study with the clenbuterol with rats, and you know, long-term use of the clenbuterol actually impaired the athletic performance of the rats. They put them on a wheel. They had them doing endurance type stuff, you know, and they performed significantly worse than the rats that didn't have the clenbuterol. So my take on stuff like clenbuterol and the phentermine is, I think if there, you know, clenbuterol was for horses. It was also used for people with asthma. Phentermine was used for people who are obese. Doctors would prescribe it. It's actually illegal to use it without a prescription, at least in America. I don't know if you can. I believe you can get a lot of these drugs in Mexico, you know, because they're
sure
not illegal.
Can. Yeah, right.
They're not illegal in Mexico. So my take is, yeah, you know, this drug gave him an unfair advantage and it would help him make weight. But I don't think this drug makes him a better fighter. Like, I'm hearing people say, oh, well, he only beat, what's his name there, Burchelt, because, you know, he was on PEDs. I mean, this drug is in the stimulant category. Now,
right,
Victor Conte is correct. Like, could stimulants increase your endurance, and could they help you?
Sure.
But when you're taking something like amphetamine and cocaine, that's, you're overstimulating yourself, in other words.
Right.
When you get to that point, you could actually have deleterious effects on your performance. Like clenbuterol, people like take that and they get the shakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with this phentermine. Like it causes insomnia. So how are you going to recover if you're not sleeping? It makes you anorexic. So if you're not eating, right, you don't want to eat, then how are you going to replenish yourself with the nutrients you need, right? If you're already cutting calories and you're already putting stress on your body, you know, this releases adrenaline in your body and epinephrine in your body, and it also releases that hormone that you don't want, which is cortisol. So, you know, these drugs, these stimulants are banned because of the dangers that they could, you know, that they could cause in a human being. The same thing with ephedra. People were taking ephedra, and these kids were taking ephedra and going on the football field, and they were passing out. Some people died from heat exhaustion because their body got heated up too much to a point. So when you're taking a guy who's already cutting calories and who's already pretty lean, right, and you're making him take these drugs, at that point, I think that you're going to get a negative effect from these drugs. Now, you will make weight. I'm not saying you won't make weight, and it's not going to give you an unfair advantage making weight. I'm not so sure, I believe, in my opinion, that they're not good performance enhancers. But there's much different types of drugs you can take that will definitely give you better performance. I think like EPO, for instance, would definitely be a better alternative to this.
Sure.
HGH, you know.
But it is a performance enhancing drug, though. It'll help him in training. It'll help him train longer. Therefore, it is a performance enhancing drug.
I don't believe it will help him train longer.
Victor Conte said it would.
I disagree with him.
You disagree with Victor Conte? I mean, not. And,
I do.
And, okay, not.
I do.
Victor
I
Conte
do.
Is a scientist who put Barry Bonds and all these guys on his stuff.
Yep.
He's
quoting Barry Bonds.
Huh?
I disagree with Barry Bonds because I can show you studies that will tell you, that will show you that these stimulants have had deleterious effects on people's performance.
So then his
there is a counter argument to it, Eric, is what I'm trying to tell you.
Gotcha, I got it.
I mean, I'm lucky if you agree with him, that's fine. I take the other side. There's two sides to it, right? I take the other side to it because no one's gonna like phenermine is a drug for obesity, right?
Right, but it does speed you up.
Okay. But is that what you want? Do you want your heart feeling like it's going to rip through your chest do you want to be nervous before a fight? Do you want to?
It's
do
not
you
even
wanna,
before the fight. It's in training.
Where you want?
It's the same thing as taking a workout supplement. If you took those workout supplements, we talked about this earlier. Those workout supplements and then all of a sudden your heart's beating, you're ready to go. You're just like, I can do this, you know?
But this is too much. This is too much of a stimulant, in my opinion. It causes too many negative. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is, from the research that I've done about these two drugs, and I know a lot about clenbuterol, and I've seen people take clenbuterol. You know, I've actually taken one tap before, and I felt like I was going to take a heart attack. I'm not lying to you. Like when I was 28, someone gave me one, and I would never take one ever again. I just felt it's like you get when your heartbeat is like going 120 beats a minute. It's fucking scary. So I understand what you're saying in theory, in terms of you know, stimulating, giving yourself energy and all that. I understand that. But when you deplete when you put an excessive amount of stress on your adrenal glands too much, you're actually going to fatigue yourself. Like when people have too much caffeine, what do they say to you? I'm getting tired. I feel weak because they're too stressed out. So these drugs are just too.
So there's not a certain dose he could take that would optimize that?
There's an argument for that. But I think already when you're taking a depleted athlete who's already put his body under a lot of stress, and then you add this drug on top of that, I think it's too much to handle for somebody.
And let me say this too. I refer to Victor Conte as I know he's not a scientist. He's a mad scientist in the sense that you know, again, he created – he's the founder of Balco.
No.
He created all these HGH,
yeah.
And I don't know if he created HGH. But anyway, he created all types of different ways for people to cheat in professional sports, including boxers
Heredia,
and everything like that.
Heredia has disagreed with Conte on certain things. I'm not discrediting
– Isn't Heredia a cheater as well?
Yeah, they both are. I'm not discrediting Victor Conte. I'm not saying everything he says is false. I just disagree with him on this.
Let me ask you this. Did he violate the protocol? Should he be fighting on Friday?
Oh, I would strip him.
Right?
Oh, I'm not
100%, right?
My whole argument is people are saying that, you know, he beat Burchell because he's on PEDs. Now, if you want to, again, if people want to believe that, they can believe that, you know, and some people will have theories to support what they're saying. I just don't see it that way. I just don't look at these particular drugs as like, I think, you know, if you were to take a caffeine, ephedra stack, and an aspirin stack, I think you'd get much more benefits out of that. Like people used to tell me, you know, they used to shake, they would lie down and they'd be sweating and they couldn't fall asleep from the, like, it's just too much, bro. Too much.
Well, again, we don't know how much he was taking. We don't know what he was taking.
Yeah.
We don't know.
I mean, this is,
all
this
we know
is my
took.
Opinion.
Right.
But my opinion, and I do have some scientific data to back it up. But then again, there's always a counter argument. There's always two sides to any theory.
Right.
I'm not saying that this my theory is you know, ironclad.
Either way, I think you and I can agree. Either way,
100%.
He should be stripped.
I would strip him. Yes.
Right.
Yes, you should. You know why? Because, you know, I don't think you should be taking drugs like this because, you know, they're dangerous and you're gaming the system because your opponent has to make weight the hard way and you're taking a shortcut to make weight.
Right.
I am not disputing that this does not give a fighter an unfair advantage to make weight. I'm not disputing that.
Right.
But the scary thing about it is all you have to do, right, is when you watch these UFC weigh-ins, And you see these people, like a couple, there's a girl that got up on the scale. She passed
almost
out.
Almost fainted, yeah. They want to faint it.
No, she made weight. She made weight.
Couldn't fight, you know.
She couldn't fight. Same thing with Eric Morales. Now, Eric Morales was allowed to fight the rematch with Danny Garcia when he tested positive for clenbuterol because they believed the meat excuse, right? And in the rematch, he did worse than he did in the first fight. He got knocked out. So, like I'm saying, to me, these drugs are not effective performance enhancers, but they are effective at giving a fighter a shortcut to make weight, which is part of the process of being in a fight. You got to make weight. So you're cheating to make weight. But I don't know. I don't believe that this makes anyone really a better fighter. I just don't. It's my opinion.
Dave Martinez is saying, why do I put so much trust in Victor Conte? Listen, I'm just telling you what he said. Telling you what Victor Conte said.
Eric, his theory has some, in theory, it's not wrong.
Right.
Because when you do stimulate the central nervous system and you do release adrenaline, if the fight or flight hormone kicks in. But here's the problem, Eric. When the adrenaline, when you know, is good to a point, that's why they call it fight or flight.
Right.
Because when you get your adrenaline too high and the anxiety kicks in, that's fear and you run. You see what I'm saying? So adrenaline could be a good thing and it could be a bad thing.
Right.
So what my stance on these drugs is, I think they take you past the fight stage and put you into the flight stage. They put your body into survival mode because then you don't want to eat when you're on these drugs because they're strong appetite suppressants.
They used to use methamphetamines also, didn't they, for weight loss? Didn't they do that?
They stopped using methamphetamine.
But they used to, like back in the day.
They did, but again. The side effects were outweighing the benefits.
Right. But they used to.
Yeah.
And we can both agree that you can lose weight on these drugs, correct?
110%.
No problem.
That's
what I'm getting at then.
He cheated to make weight.
Yes, that's right.
I'm not refuting that.
Right.
But I just think that WADA is ridiculous for WADA.
Help me out with this. WADA, where do they come in on all this and why?
Okay, so WADA sets the protocol. They determine what substances are going to be on the banned substance list. And a lot of the labs are called WADA-accredited labs.
Okay.
Right? So WADA administers the test, right? But they use everyone uses the WADA protocol. Now, here's the funny thing about it. The commission still had the authority to step in and not allow this fight to happen, not sanction the fight. Go back and look at Billy Joe Saunders versus Demetrius Andre. He was taking a similar drug to this, which was called oxyfluorine, right? And that was very similar to this. It's in the same class. Now, WADA had a same rule where you could take this out of competition, but not in competition. But guess what happened? The Massachusetts State Athletic Commission overruled WADA and said, no, we're not allowing Billy Joe Saunders to fight in our state. So regardless of what WADA says and regardless of what VADA says, VADA administers the test, they report the results, and VADA uses the WADA protocol. And in most cases, they send the test to a WADA lab or a WADA accredited lab. And then the commission has the final say on if the fight will take place or not.
But now this was banned on WADA, but not on WADA, right?
No. No. WADA doesn't determine what's banned and what's not banned. They use the WADA protocol.
Gotcha.
So they don't, it's not up to WADA. So people, there's a misconception. Oh, well, WADA and VADA are on different pages here. No, they're working in conjunction with each other, basically. And VADA doesn't determine, you know, if a fight can happen or not. VADA only does the testing. They only do the testing, right? Just like Quest. Quest just does the testing.
Why did Spencerman come up then if it's not an illegal substance?
It's an illegal substance in competition. Just like oxyfluorine is a legal substance in competition, meaning outside of 24 hours before the fight, WADA says it's legal to use. Here's the catch 22. In the United States, it's illegal to even have the drug without a prescription. You need a prescription for the drug. So why would WADA not just ban this all across the board in competition and out of competition? That's where the problem lies. So WADA is ridiculous. Just like that whole thing with Alexander Povetkin. What was that drug that he tested positive for?
That was like a steroid, I believe.
Yeah, but then they changed the amount. They had like a timeline, right, where they said you could have a certain amount in your system, right? And then the argument was, well, Povetkin had that, you know, that trace amounts in there, which did not exceed the allowed amount. See, this is where WADA fucks up, because they have these stipulations on these drugs. Instead of just saying, you know what, let's just make it illegal. No amount can be in your system.
Right.
But that's the whole thing with Povetkin. He got by on a technicality, technically, right? Meldonium. That's what it was. Correct.
Yeah.
That's a heart medication. Now that would help with stamina. That would help with stamina. You know? So basically, my problem is WADA. Why would you not just ban this drug in competition and out of competition? Because there's really no need to take it.
You would never take this in competition. For what?
You would never need to, because you right. would have already made the weight. So that's the ridiculousness of it. But shout out to the Massachusetts State Athletic Commission, because they said regardless of what WADA says, we're not going to let Billy Joe Saunders fight in our state because we don't believe he should have been taking that drug. We believe he cheated to make weight. So the commission could have stepped in here, regardless of what the WBC wanted to do, and they could have said we're not going to sanction this fight. So the commission, if you want to blame anyone for allowing this fight to happen, you blame the commission and blame the WBC for not stripping him.
Canelo tested positive for clenbuterol. Valdez tested positive for fentanyl. Luis Neri had tested positive for something else. And they're clenbuterol. And they're all in that Reynoso camp, all in that Reynoso / Canelo camp.
And I don't want to sound like a jerk here, but they're all Mexican fighters, and I'm thinking it's very easy in Mexico to obtain these drugs.
You mean by mistake?
And it's harder to get these drugs in the United States.
Isn't that what they claimed? Herbal tea and steak. That's how they were getting
Yeah.
That's how I know you took it, because you said herbal tea. That was what you gave us? That was the explanation? Herbal tea.
Yeah, see what Dave Martinez just said? He said, I heard a doctor talking about this drug, and it's nothing with the car. Yeah.
It's a stimulant. All right. Bottom line, it's a stimulant. We get it.
I'm gonna be honest with you, though.
We all know what it does. I understand it speeds you up.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you, though. I think Victor Conti, I think he embellishes some of this stuff sometimes. I think he really
– He's a treat.
I think he embellishes, you know – He makes these drugs sound like they're more than what they really are, in my opinion. I think he embellishes. Because doctors don't talk about this drug the same way Victor Conti talks about it. Scientists don't talk about this drug the same way Victor Conti talks about it. When they do studies in labs, you know, they're getting something totally different than what Victor Conti is saying.
Mad Dog Ace says Neri was not with Reynoso when he tested positive. So
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Well, anyways, he was in the camp, whatever.
Right.
But there's another fighter as well, too, but I don't know who it was. So someone told me there was four fighters. So I don't know exactly, you know, who they are. But
The media should be quoting Troy Smoke Alarm says that the media should be quoting anti-doping researchers, not a convicted criminal, Victor Conte. It's not even the case. Like I said, again, we know what it does.
No, I mean, I'm not saying Victor Conti is 100% incorrect here. I just think that I just disagree with you know, with his analysis on the effectiveness as this drug as a PED. I think he's overstating it, in my opinion. That's all.
There you go. 805. 805, you're live.
But at the same time, he's turned back.
Then maybe you're not.
Is that Nacho, 805?
I guess, yeah, 805 is what I thought.
Hey, guys, what's up?
What's going on? What's up, man?
What's up, man?
What are you doing?
What are you watching?
Menace to Society? Are you watching Menace to Society in the background?
He was. Was he at the drive-by scene?
I'm hearing like a background. I was like yelling his finger. Like, what is this, Menace to Society here?
Were you watching Menace to Society?
Break yourself.
No.
Break yourself, fool. Give up them Daytons.
Steve, it's not Menace to Society. It's a documentary of Rick James. all right, I was just listening to you guys talk about
Rick James.
Yeah, you guys were talking about Valdez. Like on Twitter a few days ago, when the whole news came out about that whole situation, Memo Heredia was over here trying to basically say that. He basically gets the benefit of this drug that he got caught with, according to him, even up to 2 weeks out from the fight. So even if he stopped taking the phenamine or whatever the name of the drug is, if he stopped taking it up to 2 weeks before the fight, he would still have all this so-called increased energy, stamina, and endurance.
Yeah, that's incorrect, Nacho.
Later on I saw the information and I was like, wait a minute, this guy is full of shit. Like the drug, the effect of the drug does not last that long. I don't even care if it is 2 weeks.
It's out of your system in two days, Nacho.
Yeah, and Memo Heredia is over here bragging about it lasts up to 2 weeks. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
dude,
because
really?
They're embellishing. They're embellishing.
Yeah.
Both of them are embellishing. You know why? Because it makes them, if they sensationalize the story, what does that do? It gives them attention.
Yeah.
That's what they're looking for.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, that's what I figured it was once I found out that what he said was a complete fabrication. Like, there's no way it stays in your system that long. I mean, I'm disappointed that he got caught, but I think it's a horrible look for Top Rank and for him to go through with the fight. I genuinely think that they should have done something else. There's no way you can go through with this fight after everything that just happened. Like, it's just a horrible look for them and Valdez. And
yeah.
And Valdez coming out and trying to basically say, oh, well, I didn't know that I took something and I would never. It doesn't really matter. At this point, the court of public opinion is basically labeling you as a drug cheat. So
well,
they should have literally.
I mean, there's no question about it. His A and B sample were both positive.
Yeah.
And he blamed it on herbal tea. Of course he did it.
Yeah. So
there's no question about it.
Yeah, it's just a horrible look, and I don't understand why they're going through with it. But like someone says, the money talks and everything else walks. So I think that's really the only reason why they're going through with this whole situation. Yeah, it's disappointing, but, I mean, what are you going to do? And then and then the fights yesterday, it's crazy, but I think Josh Warrington, no matter what he does, he's never going to be able to beat Lara. Like yesterday, Lara was on his way to beating him again. And I just think that
you saw
Ed
that
Plant,
too, Nacho, right?
He was catching him slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw that too, how he was coming on. Okay, I wasn't the only one then. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, I thought that Lara was starting. I thought that Lara was starting to hit him pretty solidly and was starting to hurt him a little bit, and he was starting to kind of, you know, back off and not really engage as much as he did at the very beginning of the fight. So I think the tide was going towards Lara winning again, and I think that headbutt just saved Warrington from a prolonged beating, in my opinion. So, I mean, they're talking about making a third fight, but, yeah, I just think Lara has the guy's number. I just don't think Warrington could ever beat the guy, and I think it would be a bad mistake to go into that fight again. You know, I think Warrington needs to fight somebody else before he even thinks about trying to fight Lara again. And then Conor Benn and Granados, I was a little surprised that Granados was able to last the 10 rounds. I thought Ben was going to take him out earlier. I just didn't think Granados had much left.
Yeah.
And I was surprised that Ben was not able to get out of there, get him out of there.
Granados
I just think
a tough
that his
guy,
form,
man.
He is, but, I mean, he's kind of getting shop-worn, though, Eric. Like, this isn't a fresh guy who's, like, in his mid-20s. That hasn't taken a lot of punishment.
He boxed a little bit more, too. He boxed a little bit more and was on the back foot a little bit more yesterday than I'm used to seeing him, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's
definitely
what, you know.
Here's a problem I have when a fighter is fighting, and this is just my pet peeve, and this is just my opinion. When I see a fighter turn his body – oh, shit, I almost fell. Turn his body –
it's a balance, man.
Turn his body – where he's giving someone his back. Now, I'm not going to say he gave Ben his full back, but you know how Floyd used to do the shoulder roll sometimes, and especially in a Hatton fight, where he essentially gave him a good portion of his back and turned his head the other way. It was almost as if he was giving Ben his back. And that, to me, is not an intelligent way to defend yourself. It's not the Marcus of Queensberry rules. I don't think you should ever turn your back to your opponent when you're fighting. And he was basically turning away, you know, being beyond negative, in my opinion.
Yeah, no.
That was tough
to watch because it was just so unlike Granados in that. Like, you've never seen him get on his bicycle the way he did yesterday. I was very surprised that they told him to employ that style last night. I thought he would have engaged a little more. And that's why I thought Ben was going to be able to take him out. But for him to kind of get on his bicycle and, like you said, just be, like, negative in a lot of ways, I just think that's a bad look for Granados. But who knows? Maybe he figures this is the way he can – maybe this is the way he figures he can continue his career as a viable opponent if he, you know, circles around the ring and just kind of pot shots guys and – you know, boxes off the back foot, because it's obvious that it doesn't look like he's going to go back to being that guy who's going to, you know, go inside and fight guys on the inside very much anymore. I think this is kind of probably what you're going to see from him now on. So I think Ben, I mean, hopefully they get him a opponent who's a little more engaging next time, because, yeah, this was tough to watch, but I mean, yeah. I mean, listen, man.
You're looking at an opponent who's engaging. I mean, you're going to look at Adrian Granados. That's how he fights. I mean, he's a pressure fighter, just like Ben was a pressure fighter last night. You know, it is what it is. I mean, that's not on him.
No, I know. Yeah, that was more on Granados as far as like the style he chose to fight in. Yeah, for sure. I'm not blaming Ben.
I will tell you this, though. I've never seen anybody happier after a loss than Adrian Granados was. He was thanking all of those people.
Think,
he was taking pictures. And,
yeah.
You know,
and I honestly I think it's because of the fact that I think he knows that this is probably the only way he can continue his career. I think this is the only way he can continue
I would
fighting.
With that.
Because I just don't see him being the guy that he was, where he was going toe-to-toe with guys anymore. I don't see it, but. You know, and
with all due respect, I never thought I'd ever say this, but you know, Granados looked like he was just in there for a payday, and I never thought I would ever use that sentence in describing Adrian Granados, but that's what he looked like in that fight.
He looked overmatched, is what he looked like. You know, I mean, that's the thing, and he didn't want to get hit because he knew Ben had some power.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Last thing, guys, with that whole Triller card, I mean, everything like that's gone wrong as far as like, you know, the De La Hoya caught COVID and they had to replace him with Holyfield.
You mean like booking De La Hoya to fight? I mean, you know what?
Everything that could go wrong did go wrong.
Yeah, exactly. At some point, does Triller just finally throw their hands in the air and just say, screw it? Like, I mean, you can't keep losing money on fights like this. Like, these guys are just costing them money left and right.
Well, I mean, listen, I've said it before. Well, De La Hoya, you know, he's got COVID, but he had his shots. You know, they said he had his shots and everything like that. He still wound up in the hospital. But, you know, that being said, yeah, I mean, listen, man, you, as a promoter, and Triller's a promoter, I would make it mandatory that everybody gets shots. I really would. I still would make it mandatory.
Yeah.
You know, Mad Dog said they spiked this coke. Who knows? Who knows? He's probably in there for something like that.
Now he's Oscar De La Hoya is saying he was fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
I mean, who knows?
He's in the hospital.
I mean, that's what they say.
I've never heard of anyone that was fully vaccinated getting hospitalized. I just haven't. I'm not saying that it's impossible, but Fury was fully vaccinated and he wasn't. So I wonder if De La Hoya actually was fully vaccinated as he said he was.
Right.
I'm not going to question whether or not he had COVID. I'm going to question whether or not he was fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
All right, Nacho, we're going to get running, man.
Yeah. All right, guys.
I want you to do me a favor. Clarify something for me, because you said that, and maybe I just misunderstood you, that VADA doesn't have a banned list. They do.
They use WADA's list.
Whatever it is, it's on their the VADA banned list is on like their website.
But they use WADA's list. They use WADA.
Okay. All right, because I just looked it up and it was like that's what I just saw. I just wanted some clarification on that.
They use WADA's protocol.
All right. Let's go to 773. 773, you're live.
Okay, here we go. More favoritism and biasness stuff going happening in boxing. It's they're favoring the market. They're catering to the market, and that's no surprise. Canelo Alvarez, the other chap, Luis Neri. What do they all have in common? They're all Mexican fighters. You know the market, big buying market, Mexican fan base. As usual, money talks. So the commission, the sanctioning bodies, they're all cowing to the money. That's what it all comes down to, as usual. If this was some dude from Bulgaria or something, would they be making excuses? Would they, I'll go ahead, keep fighting, no big deal. Of course not. Of course they would. And this is the problem with boxing. Some people are more equal than others. And I've been saying it for ages. And it's the same thing over in Britain. When I said it with Tyson Fury, when he failed the drug test, people trying to make excuses. And no, that was bore meter. The same thing, follow the money. It always comes back to the money. So, horse shit, drug cheats. And if it wasn't, it was no big deal, then he wouldn't be taking it, okay? If it didn't do anything, if it didn't help him out, then he wouldn't be taking it. He failed the drug test, he's a drug cheat, period. Whether smoke, they're fire. Canelo, these are all masking agents, in my opinion, for them to take more advanced PEDs. I think that's what the problem is. I think that's what you guys are missing. They take these drug tests, and those are masking agents to take the more advanced, more potent PEDs. But absolutely horse crap. They're allowing this dude to fight. I don't care how much it helps them, how little it helps them. Failed it. You follow the rules, you break the rules, you pay for the rules. He's not even going to pay for anything. This is what turned me off from boxing, because it's a bunch of corrupt, political, money-driven bullshit.
Well, that's not very nice.
It's some bullshit. Y'all bullshit.
There you go. Well, you heard it straight from the horse's mouth. Kevin, thank you so much. All right. Andres Rodriguez, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And Aaron Daly, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Can I read something real quick, Eric?
Please, clarify
something.
Please.
Okay, so this document contains the official prohibited list, substances, and methods of the Voluntary Anti-Doping Association. VADA guidelines concerning these specific substances and groups are intended to closely track.
I gotcha.
Internationally recognized standards for the substances prohibited by sport, such as the world WADA. Anti. So you understand what like?
But it's their own list, is what I'm saying.
Yes,
WADA's
but they
come up with their list, and it
they,
says it's,
they,
well, it, it's,
they use it. They use it. They use WADA. They use WADA as their as the guideline for their list.
Right, but what I'm saying is their stuff that Fentermin or whatever came up on this list, not on the WADA list.
Well, it's on both of the lists.
So they're gonna come up if something's flagged, it's gonna come up on the WADA list, and then that they have a list of banned subs. That's the only way they would know to look for something. So it came up on WADA's list. What they're saying is that it doesn't come up on WADA's list. In sport. How do they put that?
Well, they don't. But WADA doesn't have things like they just flag the drug.
Right, but they have to have a list from which to flag it from, which is their list right here.
But they get their list from WADA. You see what I read to you? They use WADA as the guidelines to update their list. So they're not going to put something on their list that WADA doesn't have, in other words.
Well, what they say is, right, but they say that substances are grouped intended to closely track internationally recognized standards for substances prohibited by a sport, such as WADA, the official prohibited list of 2019, blah, blah, blah. But what I'm saying is that what you're looking at right there, what I sent you was the WADA prohibited list.
Yeah, and it's going to be identical to WADA's list is what I'm trying to tell you. Is they update their list based on what WADA does. That's how they do it. So they're using
so they only
WADA.
They flag, hey, we know this guy tested positive. Here is the list. So you guys decide what to do with it.
The commission decides what they want to do.
All right. Well, if WADA is saying there's no crime here, then why is this?
All WADA did was tell the commission that this was in a system. That's all they did.
Right.
That's all they did.
Right, because it was on their banned list. So
they were flagged for that stuff.
But they're saying it has to be in competition, so what's the problem?
Technically, what Valdez did is he didn't break any rule.
I think he...
I disagree with it, too.
My argument is I just
disagree with the rule.
Manny Gatillo, did you see this, Pete? Thank you so much. Insane.
Wow.
Thank you so much, man. We appreciate that.
Oh, my
that.
God, Manny
wow.
Gatillo. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
That's
all right. Jake Paul, we're going to move on from this subject. Jake Paul retired this week and then unretired the next day. Took the social media to do that. Now, the numbers, what everybody's interested in are the numbers for this fight. Now, they're not in yet. They don't expect them to be in until next week, early next week. Both Tyron Woodley and both Jake Paul are saying it's going over a million. I got to be honest. I think it probably will. They said this fight is trending really well.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to see a rematch?
No. No, I don't. No. Do you? I don't want to see anything.
You know, I don't like what Woodley did in the fight.
I don't either.
It bothered me because he could have done he hurt him, and he did this in some of his UFC fights too. And again, I'm not in there. I know how hard it is, and I'm not insulting Woodley. But he's just so talented, and he has the ability to hurt guys. I don't understand how he just couldn't finish him at that time. Oh my man, Coach Malachi's in the chat. Thank you so much for stopping by, brother. I love Coach Malachi, man. That's my man, bro.
All right, let's see here. All right, the purse bid for Sean Porter and Terrence Crawford has been moved to September 14th. Apparently, they asked for more time, so it looks like they're trying to pound out a deal here. Beeb, you think it happens? It's getting closer and closer, and I don't know now. I was tipping toward that side that says no way, but
I don't think it's going to happen, and I think we're going to see Porter versus Ugas too. And I think we may see Crawford versus Virgil Ortiz.
Wow, Crawford, yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Would you hate either one of those fights?
Would I hate? Give me the fights again. Sean Porter and who?
Well, you don't like rematches, so you're not going to like Ugas versus Porter, too.
No, I thought Ugas wiped him the first time.
But would like Porter versus you would like Crawford versus Ortiz, would you not? Or would you like Crawford versus Porter better?
I would like Crawford versus Porter better because I would really like to see Virgil Ortiz get some more seasoning before he steps in with Crawford.
Okay, I would like both fights equally.
I like them. I like, don't get me wrong, though, I like the fight Ortiz and Crawford. I like that. But I'd rather see him get a little bit more under his belt before he fights Crawford. You know, it's a big, big move for him. Caleb Plant is apparently working with Andre Ward for the Canelo fight. Now, I don't know if this was like Tyron Woodley working with Floyd Mayweather. I don't know if he's moved his camp to California. I don't know anything other than what I've read, and I've read that they are actually working together. So, listen, it can't hurt. It can't hurt. And I tell you what, in my view right now, Andre Ward is the only guy that would have beat Canelo or that could beat Canelo. And he's retired, and I don't know that he's coming back. I don't think he's coming back. They threw a lot of money at him to fight Canelo, and he said no.
Yeah.
And listen, man, you know what they said he is irritated with, though? Is Jake Paul. They said Jake Paul.
Andre Ward is?
Andre Ward is very irritated, yeah.
Why?
He doesn't like him. He sees him coming in, making a big payday, and he sees all the other fighters struggling to get to that point. You know what I mean? And these guys can just come in, main event, get these big paydays. And
listen, I see both sides of it.
I do too.
I never sit on the fence on anything, but this is one thing I kind of sit on the fence on. But I lean more towards we live in a free market economy. Anyone can do whatever they want to do. People are going to pay to watch you, then you do what you do. You make that money.
What do
so
we always say?
I lean more toward defending Jake Paul than criticizing him.
I do too. And you know what? I mean, what do we say? It's get people to care. Get people to like you. Get people to dislike you. Whatever. Just get people to watch.
That undercard was not bad.
I like the undercard. The undercard I thought was good.
Yeah, no problem with that undercard.
Uncle Phil says that Jake Paul is 10 times more famous than Andre Ward. He is. No question about it.
Yeah, but I'm a huge Andre Ward.
I'm a huge Andre Ward fan too.
I absolutely love Andre Ward.
There's no question that he's a bigger star than Andre Ward. In boxing, he's a bigger star than Andre Ward. He hasn't accomplished anything near what Andre Ward's accomplished.
No.
You get that. Everybody gets that. But he is a bigger star. If I go to 10 people and say, Andre Ward or Jake Paul, who do you know? Guaranteed, 10 out of 10.
That's right.
Be More Scientific says famous with who? The 12-year-old daughter? No. I'm telling you, man. He's more famous than anybody. He's more famous than anybody you know. Trust me. He just is. Just because you haven't heard from him doesn't mean he's not popular.
Well, you'll find out how popular he is, and you have to find out how popular Logan Paul was when you looked at the pay-per-view numbers when Logan Paul fought Floyd Mayweather.
Anybody selling that many pay-per-views, they're popular.
Yeah.
That's it. Long and short of it, man.
Yeah.
Bad Dog says, he likes Jake Paul because he's giving boxers their biggest paydays. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with Jake Paul, man. I don't.
Uncle Phil says Andre Ward has not lifted gloves for 6 years. And Jake Paul may win a unanimous decision. There you go.
Here we go.
I don't agree with it, but I tell you what.
Troll all you want. it's good entertainment value for the chat, bro.
I tell you what. Logan Paul and Floyd did 600K. I thought they did more than that, didn't they?
No, they did over a million.
Yeah, they did over a million. They
did over a million.
Yeah, there you go. Chris Areola is now the favorite to face Dillian White next. Another matchroom special by Eddie Hearn.
I'm not done with that.
Awful. Awful fight.
I am not done with that.
Some sad news to report here. Jeanette Zacharias Zapata passed away this week. Last week she was in a card. She was knocked unconscious, I guess. She was in a fight in Canada by was it Yves Michelle and that whole promotion up there. But anyway, she was knocked out, carried out on a stretcher, went into a coma, and unfortunately passed away. She was only 18 years old, guys. 18. You know, and she was, I think she was like, she had 6 fights under her belt. She had lost her last 3, I think by knockout or, you know, by TKO or whatever. You know, but her last 3 opponents were undefeated. So they were clearly using her as, you know, to pad records and everything like that. Yeah. Awful, just awful. I mean, get some better matchmaking, and that's not good.
Yeah, it's not good.
De La Hoya, your boy, Beeb, has been vaxxed and is now in the hospital for COVID-19. Beeb, he recorded a thing from his hospital room. I got to be honest, he sounded awful. He sounded
He probably is sick.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. He claims that he got the vaccine.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean,
I don't think he got both shots. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't know. I mean, listen, man, I've never had COVID, so I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, it looked like it hit him pretty hard for a guy. But again, he's in great shape, but he's also, you know, close to being 50 also.
Well, he's also abused his body with substances as well too. Ooh. So that's not gonna have a positive effect on
him. De La Hoya? Yeah. What do you mean he's abused his body with substances? What are you talking about?
He likes the nose candy.
How dare you?
He rides the white horse.
He rides the white pony. He rides the white horse. What's the matter with you? Also, too, this also caught everybody's eye, too. Just days before this, earlier this week, De La Hoya was given an interview where he said he was raped when he was 13 years old.
There we go.
By a 34-year-old woman. I was just like, I was kind of taken aback by that. But, yeah, I mean, clearly. And people, you know, what was funny is that people came to it and says, well, he's probably lying to promote the fight. Why would you lie about this? Why would you lie about being raped? You know what I mean? Like, come on. What's the matter with you people? Said he was raped. They got to believe him. You know what I mean? What's the matter with you guys? There you go. Mad Dog getting a lot of mileage out of the Coke vid thing instead of COVID. Ignorant Boxer said, I got vaccinated for that reason. Now looking at Oscar, like, what the, you know, what the F?
Well,
you know?
Again, supposedly we were told Fury was fully vaccinated and he wasn't. So.
Yeah. Well, Oscar, I thought Oscar did admit that, or he said he was fully, well, Oscar said he was fully vaccinated, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. I mean, you could take what Oscar says with a grain of salt. He said a lot of, was he sober when he said it? I don't know.
He also said he wasn't in those pictures too, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? We'll find out that he was missing one of the shots. Watch.
Yeah, he only had one of them or something like that. Yeah,
we'll find out. We'll find out.
All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And you can find me on Twitter at ringside73. Guys, we will see you guys next week. Have a good holiday weekend.
All right, guys, take care.